Thanks for downloading another segment from the Best of the Classic Metal Show. The Classic Metal Show is heard live on Saturdays from 9 p.m. to 3 a.m. Eastern, exclusively at www.theclassicmetalshow.com. And now here's another piece of Classic Metal Show history on the Best of the Classic Metal Show.
The Classic Metal Show.
From the latest release, Science of Annihilation, that's Cage right there with the Spirit of Vengeance. And evidently, Sean Peck of Cage was enjoying a little Spirit of Vengeance. He said he was at a bar watching the UFC kick the shit out of each other. Are you with us there, Sean?
Yes, I am. I'm just in great anticipation of watching a lot of blood be shed tonight. But, I mean, I'd much rather be listening to the Classic Metal Show. Forget the UFC.
Oh, come on now. You know you like to tip a few back, watch a little bloodshed, you know, be in camaraderie with all the bloodthirsty brothers there at the bar.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, there's a lot of Affliction clothing, which I'm a big fan of. A lot of fight gear out here, and a lot of nice-looking ladies with some big racks.
do women get into the UFC? I don't know. I'm not a fan, so I can't say that I've attended a UFC event at a bar. So chicks get into that shit?
Oh, yeah. It's packed full of chicks just looking for muscles and testosterone.
Well, I guess that leaves me out. Well, Sean, Cage is back with a new release, Science of Annihilation. You guys, you know, definitely are what we would consider a very traditional classic metal band, still out there not bowing to the trends and doing what Cage does.
Yeah, I mean, anytime I do an interview and they say, Sean, what advice do you have to give to somebody? I always say that, you know, if you love Mary Had a Little Lamb and that really rocks you, you should stick with what you love. And chasing trends is a waste of time, because not only do they change so quickly, but, you know, being in the music business is always going to be a labor of love for the most part. And you might as well, you know, play what sound gratifies you the most. And, you know, I grew up on all the, you know, was raised on Maiden, Priest and Scorpions and Testament and Dokken and frickin' Metal Church and King Diamond and stuff like that. So that's kind of an amalgamation of what Cage is.
Sure. Now, Sean, you know, I've been following the band for, you know, basically since you guys came out. And to be honest, I've never seen even a remotely bad review of the band. I mean, every time you guys get a review on any website, it's always a 7, 8, 9 type of a review. With that being said, what is it about Cage that is not taking you guys to the next level?
I don't know. I think it's like touring, you know. We finally did our first real tour. I mean, we've been a band for 16 years, and we did our first tour about a month ago in Europe, and we headlined the tour, so we didn't support anybody. So it was, I didn't know whether there was going to be like 5 people show up or what, but it was super, super successful and like way above expectations. So I think that is the... That was really the key, because people got, live is really where we make the sale. I mean, that's where people see us and go, holy shit. And I think we're probably well on our way to like taking that next big step, just getting out there and having people see you.
Sure. Now, at this point, do you even try to hit the U.S. market, or is really Europe where it's at for a band like Cage?
Well, I mean, you know, we've got families and, you know, careers and stuff, so me getting in a Winnebago and eating macaroni and cheese for a month going around the U.S. is probably not going to happen, but we are planning on, you know, like a week out on the East Coast, and we're finally going to hit the East Coast, maybe in September, which we're real excited about, because we always get people from the East Coast going, when are you going to come out here? So, yeah, it's kind of selective in... selective little runs in the United States. We're probably going to do Mexico again, which we're having a lot of success in Mexico, and then probably back out to Europe next summer again.
Well, Sean, what's the environment like out there in Southern California as far as the type of metal that you guys do? Are you able to book any local gigs around there? Anybody interested in what you do, or is it more or less like Chris said, a European thing for you guys?
No, absolutely. I mean, Southern California has been really cool, because we play almost exclusively all ages shows now, and the kids are just like freaking out on this style of metal. I mean, we usually book a gig with a, you know, two hardcore bands and two death metal bands, and then we step up and do our thing, and the kids just, their fucking jaws drop, and like, you know, they're fighting their way to the front, headbanging like when I was 16 years old, and stage diving, and it's really been a, it's energized the band too a lot for playing locally, because these kids are just like freaking out. You know, they come to the shows wearing their Cage shirts. You know, you can get 100 to 300 kids every show locally, so the scene here is very, very healthy in Southern California.
Well, Sean, is there any chance that you guys have been, you know, asked to maybe be part of like a package tour, you know, maybe opening for maybe some big national headliners like an Iron Maiden or maybe like an AC/DC perhaps, or have you made any connections like that to where you can maybe get a little more exposure in front of like an arena crowd?
You know, we've had the pleasure of opening for Judas Priest and the Scorpions and Iron Maiden, so we've already, you know, kind of lived that dream on a full-length tour situation. Those usually are like huge buy-on situations. Although, like, there's some band opening for Judas Priest called Pop Evil, which I've never heard of, so you always wonder how those things happen. But, you know, Europe, I'm sure it's possible, but I mean, I think we're more interested in, you know, working our own situation as a headliner, and only if something, you know, some amazing opportunity came up would you probably expect us to see us on like some major opening act. But we do have some new management that has just come on board that are super well connected, so you never know. There could be something big in the future.
Sure. Now, a lot of people don't realize that bands like a Cage, who, you know, obviously don't get commercial radio play and whatever, in order to get out on, say, one of these bigger bills or package tours, you definitely need, you know, a label support that maybe has some money, because you did mention a word there that a lot of people, you know, fan-wise aren't even familiar with, is the fact that bands like you have to buy onto a package. You know, you have to pay to play, so to speak.
Yeah, my friend's band just bought on $20,000 to go tour with Tesla in Europe.
Oh.
And you know, all the clubs that we just played, there were posters for Tesla. So I'm like, dude, you're playing the same clubs we just played, and you just paid $20,000 just for the opportunity. So, that, you know, the music business right now is super tough. You know, like I said, mostly it's a labor of love. We have an interest business model that really has allowed us to do the first tour ever, and we've already made more money than we've ever made on this album, even though it's only been out a few weeks. And that has been strictly from, you know, we turning down all the label offers we had. I think we had like 7 different labels that offered us deals this time, which was way more than we ever had before. And we turned them all down in order to do our own distribution, and that allowed us to capture a lot of the revenue that otherwise would be sent to the record label. And because we had that revenue, we were able to do a profitable tour, you know, and finally get out to the people, and we're able to now, you know, have a bunch of different releases, vinyl releases and DVDs and stuff coming out, and control our own destiny. And it's really this, I think Artist Direct for bands of our level is really the way to go. But for bands that are new and need exposure and like don't have a built-in fan base of, you know, of whatever, we probably have a good 5,000 to 10,000 people that are going to buy whatever we put out just because of the hard work, you know, 16 years we put into this. But for new bands, I think they need, you know, the label thing. But for bands kind of like us that have a built-in following, I think Artist Direct and retaining the revenue is the only way to go.
Sure. Now, how has MySpace or Facebook or any one of these social networking sites helped you out? Have you seen any benefit to that, any revenues through that, or do you think that's just, you know, people just surf by you, or what do you think? How's that worked out for you?
What's cool is, I mean, we were getting like, I don't know, on average like 150 plays a day, which, you know, I don't know if that's a lot or not, but now, you know, we're up usually over 500 plays a day on MySpace. So something is going on right now, which is cool MySpace-wise. MySpace is a great way to communicate with people. You know, Facebook we've gotten started, and, you know, Twitter as well. But really, to me, the success key to success for the last two albums has been the internet radio. We've done a lot of internet radio, and a lot of people have discovered us that way, and that's why I'm so appreciative of opportunities like this for people to put in their hard work and all their effort to put on a killer show and put out that music that you can listen to and stream on your computer, and gives bands like Cage a way to get exposed more, and for the fans to discover, you know, new acts. I'm a metal fan, you know. I'm always looking for, like, another band like Cage that I can hear and just rock my socks off. So when I look for that, I go, you know, exclusively to internet radio, and I really think internet radio is very important for bands like us in subgenres like this.
Sure. Now, Sean, obviously, man, this album just it literally picks up where the last one led off, and it really seems like with this album, you guys purposely went to just be more heavy than you were last time, if that's even possible. Is that kind of where you guys, you know, start from when you start putting a project together, is look at the last one and then try and step it up at yet another notch?
Yeah, I mean, you know, everyone always goes, it's the heaviest album we've ever done. But, you know, just because it's heavy doesn't make it good, is what I always say. So the real key to the step up, this album was our new drummer, Norm Leggio, ex of Psychotic Waltz. He was able to deliver, you know, some new beats and new strategies, you know, rhythm-wise that we've never, you know, done before. And so when you got a song like Planet Crusher, you know, that comes out with kind of that thrash beat, people that have heard Cage before are like, oh, holy shit, what the hell is this? And, of course, I keep trying to scream higher and higher and higher and reach we must scream higher than the last album. So we're always trying to push the limit, but really the key is, you know, are the songs good? We really push for, you know, memorable hooks and songs that you can imagine people singing along with, you know, in an arena environment. And it's a fine line to mix, you know, the technicality, the heaviness, the speed, and the hooks to come up with, you know, a good heavy metal song that maintains the classic vibe, but yet is, you know, kind of sounds like it's, you know, in modern times.
Sure. Now, another thing that I don't think you guys get enough credit for, Sean, is the artwork that you guys always do. You guys always have the top-of-the-line artwork, so much better than 99% of what is out there. Who does your artwork, man, and why do you guys put so much emphasis on it?
Well, you know, thank you very much for bringing that up, because I'm a big comic book fan, and I'm also, our whole philosophy has always been, like, you know, spare no expense, because the guy who's shelling out 10 or 15 bucks for this album, you know, we want him to get this package and go, oh, hell yeah. And then they know the next time they spend their hard-earned money on a Cage CD, that it's going to be something that they can spend a few hours just, like, looking at every picture and studying every little word and stuff. So, you know, the Hell Destroyer package was, like, 30-page, you know, mini graphic novel. This one is smaller, but we contracted a guy named George Davis to do the interior artwork. He works for Rockstar Video Game Company, which does a lot of, they did, like, Grand Theft Auto and stuff. So he really helped us out a lot. But the cover artist for the last few covers has been Mark Sasso. Mark Sasso's done Dio. He works for Metal God Entertainment now. Halford stole him from us, but I won't hold it against Halford for stealing our artist. But he does all the stuff for Halford now, and he's been a real asset. He just absolutely loves the band. He's become a great friend, and it's kind of like, you know, Iron Maiden used the same artist for a while. I imagine we'll continue to be using Mark on covers to come. And yeah, I love his style. I love his realistic painting style, and you know, the album covers are just, you know, metal, and again, that's how I grew up, man. That's what heavy metal album covers are supposed to look like.
Right. Well, Sean, after all the years that you've put in, and you know, you've obviously reached the level that you've gotten to, how much does it kill you when you look on the charts and you see Seether charting with a Wham cover and people calling that metal?
You know, it doesn't really upset me that much, because I know, you know, if we shared the same stage with Seether, we would frickin' destroy them. Not to be arrogant or anything, but for what we do, that our genre's got, you know, what fans it has, and It doesn't matter to me. You know, this is the style we like. This is what we grew up on. And the commercial success is always great, but, you know, we've taken a route where we, you know, individually on our personal lives, we're all actually really been pretty successful. I'm a real estate broker, so, you know, my main source of income is not Cage, but it's nice now that we're finally making money at it and we're actually, you know, getting paid a nice, decent fee to play live and for something that we enjoy, but it takes a long time to get to that point. But, you know, if Caesar wants to be Caesar, that's cool, and they want to do a Wham cover, but I want to see him step up on the stage and cover Planet Crusher.
Nice. Well, Sean, you know, we mentioned the environment of the music business. How long do you foresee actually putting out physical CDs as opposed to just going to digital download?
I think we're going to continue to put out CDs. I mean, you know, especially because of the artwork that we provide and the packaging, you know. We're working on the next CD right now, as a matter of fact. You know, I know everyone likes to hold, you know, a tiny little MP3 player and stuff, and, you know, everyone's got one. But the cool thing is, you know, with vinyl making a resurgence, we have the last three albums coming out on vinyl, and we're real excited about that. You know, the cool thing about our genre is, you know, the metal fans are loyal, man. They'll buy your CD, they'll buy the shirt. What we did on this, you know, this European tour, which was a new kind of business model, a little strategy I tried to employ, was before the album was even released, we toured ahead of time and made each show basically a CD release party. So the first time you could get the CD was there at the show. And so the downside was, you know, no one had heard these songs played live before, you know, but we were so confident in the material that we knew that they would, you know, that they would like the tracks. But it allowed us to sell, you know, quite a bit of product on the road, and you know, that helps support all the road expenses. And we're probably going to do that same strategy again, man. It really worked well.
Yeah, I agree, Sean, that, you know, bands who do go out and tour and have plenty of CDs or product on hand, that's sort of an impulse buy, especially if the band wants to do a little extra overtime and do a little bit of a CD signing after the show or something like that. But a lot of bands, a lot of veteran bands who could do better with selling product on the road, or maybe even do like a little meet and greet or a CD signing if you buy the current CD at the show, they don't want to work that hard.
Well, one of the things we're real well known for is, you know, after every show, we, you know, drop what we're doing, we go right to the frickin' table, and, you know, we stand there and autograph until, you know, everyone's service. It's just, it's a way to, you know, show your appreciation, you know, meet the people. Like I said, you know, we did this European tour and people were showing up that had all four CDs. And of course they wanted to buy the new one right there. And they were excited that they got to meet us and get the autographs and, you know, share the stories and stuff. And to me, it's, you know, that's almost like the most fun part of it, is to meet the people and see the look on their face and how excited they are and hear the comments. I mean, the comments we got on this last tour were so ridiculously over the top. I mean, you think that the reviews that we get are ridiculously over the top. You should hear what these people would say, like, literally every night. I mean, it would be like, you would think that if someone came up to you and said, you know, that was a really great show, that you would be, that would be good. But, I mean, they were coming up like, I have been to shows for 20 years. It was the best performance I've ever seen by any band. I mean, that was like literally like every night. And, you know, if how today you would be the new metal god. And I'm like, Jesus, hold on a second. So that kind of stuff, you know, really keeps you motivated to keep working hard and spending your time and energy, you know, making the best songs you can make and again, keep pushing the genre. One question I have for you guys is, it's always curious, you know, in this genre, you know, will there ever be another Maiden? Will there ever be another Judas Priest? I mean, once this, the masters, you know, die, is there anyone that is going to take on the new mantle? I mean, it doesn't appear that that's the case right now, because, you know, whether the genre is going to ever be what it was, if there's enough interest in it, or, you know, what's going to happen in the future is a real interesting dilemma.
Yeah, well, if you listen to the Classic Metal Show on a consistent basis, that's a pretty common topic here, and we've discussed that at length on several occasions. Actually, I think that discussion is available over at the Classic Metal Show iTunes download. We had a long discussion about that. So If you have an interest, Sean, you can go over to iTunes, Classic Metal Show, and listen to our commentary on that.
I'm going to definitely check that out. I've always been fascinated with, you know, how is that going to transcend down the line? Who will be there? Of course, we'd love to be one of the ones to pick up the pace and carry the mantle, because we love the, you know, we just love the sound so much, and we love the feeling that we get from, you know, this kind of heavy metal.
Well, you better invest your money into pyrotechnics and multimedia and get a big stage.
I would love to do that, man. I mean, I'm, you know, what was cool watching the new pre-show is how they bring out the lasers. I'm a big fan of lasers.
Sure, and they don't burn down small clubs either.
That's right. They just blind people.
Right. All right, Sean. Well, the new Cage release is called Science of Annihilation. It is available through Cage, cageheavymetal.com. Is that right?
Yeah, cageheavymetal.com is, you know, you click on the store, we ship them right out, you get a free sticker. Sometimes I throw in a free patch if someone sends me a cool little note on their order, and it's been selling great, and, you know, every time, it seems like every order that we send out, someone emails us back like, I got the CD today, and holy shit, I haven't stopped listening to it for like a week, so... it's been going over great, and we've, you know, the European, all the reviews we've been getting are great. We got number one on Heavy Magazine for the third time in a row, which has only been accomplished by King Diamond ever before out of all the history of the magazine, which is a pretty a long history. So we're real proud of that, and the music's just done from the heart, man. You know, we just like to rock. We're, like I said, music heavy metal fans that put a band together. And we just, you know, feel the spirit of what heavy metal was supposed to be, and it's what we do.
Excellent. All right, Sean, well, if there isn't anything else, is there anything else you want to tell us about this CD that we haven't covered with you?
You know, just as far as the song, you know, topics and stuff, it was just, writing the album was a little trickier than the others because, you know, I'd almost run out of conspiracies to write about, so... there's a little more fictional activity going on in this one, but we're real happy the way it came out, and I just want to say thanks to you guys and thanks to all the people out there listening and interested in Cage. If you haven't heard of us, check us out at cageheavymetal.com and myspace.com/cageheavymetal. And like I said, anytime someone writes a little note to us on MySpace saying, man, killer record or whatever, it just really puts a smile to our face and makes us want to go in and work that much harder to keep putting out good headbanging music.
Well, what about the people who leave a comment that says, you guys suck?
I always delete those and make sure they don't show up on the front page.
All right, Sean. Well, go pick up the new Cage release, Science of Annihilation. And, Sean, I may have asked you this question before last time we had you on the show, but we're always willing to listen to your answer again. How has Lemmy from Motorhead influenced your career?
Lemmy's probably influenced the rest of the guys in the band more than me. You know, being a vocalist, you know, I'm always more influenced, of course, by the singers and stuff. I mean, I love a good thrash tune. I think our song Speed Kills kind of definitely, when we were writing it, had a heavy Motorhead vibe. So this album was probably the first time I can say that, you know, Motorhead had an effect on me. But the other guys I know are big Motorhead fans, but that's just because I'm a singer, I guess.
Excellent. Well, what do you say we end this interview with Speed Kills?
I love it.
All right. Well, go pick up the new Cage, Science of Annihilation, available right now. And, Sean, we appreciate you taking a few minutes from the UFC to talk to us.
Hey, man, you guys are a great interview, and you guys are very professional. Thank you very much. And, again, thanks to all the people out there, you know, that support us. It's a tough business to be in, and it's all a labor of love mostly. And we really appreciate the fans of heavy metal in all over the world, of course.
All right. Well, here it is. This is brand new Cage. This is Speed Kills exclusively here.
On your Classic Metal Show.
Thanks for checking out the best of the Classic Metal Show. You can tune in to the Classic Metal Show live every Saturday night from 9 p.m. to 3 a.m. Eastern, exclusively at www.theclassicmetalshow.com.
The Classic Metal Show.